On this note, can we welcome on the podium our Father in the Lord, Apostle Aaron Osai.
Signposts to aid your navigation, and if we are sensitive to the signs that he is making available, we will not miss our way. Just like our ancestor Abraham, he was asked to leave his place of convenience, and the details of the location where God was taking him was not revealed. The promise that was given to him was, I will show you. Go to a land that I will show you. And Abraham happens to be a prototype of what the believer is. It means God is leading you in a triumphant procession to the place where you can secure your inheritance. But he will show you. He will show you. And that's why the description of the life of the believer is that your life is prophetic. It's intertwined with the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And he is the one that gives you the tools of precision and accuracy in the journey of destiny. Today, God is going to help us. But before we are going complex today, so I would like you to pray. This evening we will do something in the area of deliverance so that we can deal with limitations that have been standing in the way of our possibilities. Yes, so this evening is deliverance. Then tomorrow evening will be the healing meeting. And so that's how we're going to do it. Now, amen. Please don't increase the volume. Just leave it the way it is. We're going to pray and ask God and ask him for help. If you understand what we'll be sharing this morning, you will have an advantage. So we want to ask him for help. Help us to understand. Can you secure help this morning? Yai compela mushe caso sono correte curra masulia blasketo mina cade povoria mahadalanto resco fila montes queso sono hombre yai compelis coprasque cunda mahantali. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Once again, I want to appreciate us for all the sacrifice that we, everyone went through in order to make this occasion a success. And for those that traveled in from afar, we salute you in the name of Jesus. I began to identify some other people that I've known on Zoom. And I maintain the fact that Zoom is a lie, because hallelujah, they look so differently from how I've seen them. But Zoom gave me an idea of what to expect. But what I am seeing here is so different from what it looked like. So you are welcome in the name of Jesus. Amen. You may take your seat. in the house of God. Choir, thank you. God bless you. So yesterday we attempted to establish the culture of a prophetic people. As a prophetic personality, you should be equipped and armed with the understanding of the fact, just leave my son. Just leave it. It was better than what it is now. Just leave it. You need to understand our obligations to God. One aspect of our obligations to God is the aspect of ministering to the Lord. Ministering to the Lord. It's an obligation. It's an obligation. When you minister to the Lord, you are standing before Him and showing Him that you are in the knowledge of the fact that you are insufficient, and it is only Him that can bring about sufficiency. So His grace becomes the instrument that, the facility that swallows up your limitation, so that whereas 1,000 fall by your side and 10,000 by your right hand, nothing shall by any means, no means whatsoever, hurt you. Now that's not something you say amen to. It's something that comes because there is a reinforcement, there is support coming from the realm of God. And the way God planned it is that man plus Holy Spirit is equal to sufficiency. So He put all of your sufficiency in the Holy Ghost. And He created you insufficient. And if you are wise enough, you discover that you cannot get by without Him. So it is, therefore, the right thing to do, therefore, is to befriend Him. And then understand how He administers this help. The tributaries through which this help is ministered to you, you need to understand it. If you know the tributaries through which this help is ministered to you, it will be easier for you to align with Him. And what I'm saying is not, hallelujah. You see, maybe I'm standing in the wrong place. That's why this sound. But the Lord will help us. It's 100% better than what it was yesterday. And I have a limitation. My sensitivity is my limitation. If something goes wrong with sound, it will kill something in my heart. I don't know why it is like that, but that's how I am. Now, listen to me. Let me show you one scripture. I don't know if that scripture will distract us. Let me distract you for 15 minutes before we start the lecture for the morning. The scripture is in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. My verse of interest because of time will be verse 17. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 17. This, I'm trying to show us the administrative arrangement. There's an administrative arrangement that guarantees your intimacy with God. And God set it up that way to ensure that the most basic thing that a believer will have access to is intimacy with God. Is there Coke here? You have Coke here? You have Fanta here? All right. The Bible says, he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit with Him. The PowerPoint in that presentation is joined. And the Greek root word for joined is kolaho. Kolaho is the direct English word for that is glue. Glue, right? So in the administrative arrangement, what God did was that He joined your spirit to the Spirit of God. And I'm going to explain It's the same word, kolaho, is the same word that was used when the Bible says, for this purpose, a man shall leave his father and his mother and shall be joined unto his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. He didn't say the two will become one spirit, they'll become one flesh. In flesh, they'll be one. It means that marriage follows the same protocol of kolaho with Christ in the spirit. Marriage is an illustration of that principle. Are you still with me? Stay with me. Now, this join, this kolaho, like I asked if there was Coke in Glasgow. If you buy a bottle of Coke and you buy a bottle of Fanta, and you mix them together, what you have is not Coke. And what you have is not Fanta. It is something new. This something new is a result of kolaho. So the arrangement that you have in the organic framework of things is an arrangement of your spirit being mingled with the Holy Spirit to form an intertwined spiritual reality. The reality is experiential, is so intertwined that when your spirit moves, you will think it's the Holy Ghost that is moving. And when the Holy Ghost moves, you will think it's your spirit that is moving, because it is kolaho. This administrative infrastructure that is built to in your spirit man is to guarantee that there is nothing that breaks the transmission of your intimacy with God. If therefore what God put in place was intended to guarantee intimacy with God, why is it that 90% of believers don't know God? But everything administrative that was done to ensure that our compatibility with God, our alignment with God was secure, did not result in any form of spiritual advancement whatsoever in the lives of so many people. It is because we don't understand the principles that govern that reality. So God administratively has put in place what is needed for us to have the output that is drawn from the blessing of intimacy. So that's why we set up the school of prophets, to tell us this is the arrangement and these are the things we need to do to take advantage of this arrangement. Is that clear? And I did not just come with a couple of scriptures, even though we need scriptures in order to be sure that that adventure that we're going into is established on the coordinates of the truth of the Word of God. But what I'm bringing to us is life applicable, because it is an experience I have had. So the guarantee of this delivery is in the fact that in the very little limit of my own experience, I have seen what I'm telling you. And that is the reason why we can practicalize what we are teaching, so that you will know that the kingdom of God is not in words. It's not about talk. You can make this happen on the train. Right there. You can make it happen in your office. Because the administrative arrangement is such that anywhere you go, you are going with the facility. A medium, a priest, is only powerful if he enters into his shrine. But you carry the priestly arrangement, your own shrine, you carry it around. And you are afraid of a priest that whose own priesthood is domiciled and trapped to a location. There are dimensions of understanding that is lacking in the body of Christ. In my own opinion, anyone that has given his life to Christ is designed to be mighty. If you know what to do and you are willing to pay the price,
The outcome is not emotional. The outcome is fixed. So the appetite I had in my pursuit for God was to know him enough to demystify his ways before his people, so that each one of us can find our destiny, find our handle, find the texture of the grace of God that is operational upon our lives, so that we can corporately wage a more global warfare against the dominion of darkness. I have not come to show you how great a preacher I am, because I don't even think I'm a great preacher. Well, that's not the idea. The days of the giants are over. Because the giant of Israel, even Saul, became ashamed when he met the giant from the land of the Philistines. So instead of God raising giants, he changed his formula. He now started raising giant killers. And when David showed up, David came up with an entirely new technology. It was a partnership that was established on the principle of interdependence. We have Hittites. We had all kinds of people with different kinds of skills, and they were part of the army, and that army could not lose. That's the perspective of the body of Christ. Our differences from one another is supposed to be our corporate strength through the principle of interdependence. And so everyone has the potential through the Holy Ghost to overcome the systems of this world. But we need to understand this infrastructure. We need to understand the spiritual currency of grace, and we need to know how to apply it. Life is supernatural. You must understand that. Life is what? Supernatural. From where I come from, the only two ways you can survive because of the nature of darkness in that place. You know, if you are contending with a witch, it means from 12 midnight to 2 a.m., that's your prayer time. If you are contending with someone that is into astrology, 3 days before the full moon, that's your time of fasting. I think we went too far. All right, he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. I tell you, I put my experiences into study so that it can be life applicable. You can pick the principles, understand how it operates, and you can deliver your family from strongholds of legitimacy established through transactions in the spirit. All right. So, let me show you the implication of this. It means that it's just like your spirit now and the spirit of the Lord is one. It means that your spirit has the capacity to operate on the frequency and with the horsepower of the spirit of the Lord. That means that's what it means. Okay, if you get a car that is Volkswagen and you put a Mercedes-Benz engine in the car and somehow you're able to do it, it's going to operate with the performance of a Benz, for God's sake. That's the expectation. So this arrangement is supposed to give you a kind of output that is on the level of the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God is supposed to become your driving force. That is what Jesus, the example he showed us after his baptism at Jordan, and the Holy Ghost came upon him. Instantly, the government of the Holy Spirit that was operational in his life, the Bible says that he was driven by the Spirit into the wilderness. It was that mechanism that was responsible for his going to the wilderness. He was not going to the wilderness for a breakthrough. He was going to the wilderness to be tempted. It's just like when you develop a product. The company sets up a quality control, quality assurance department to test how authentic the product is. But you see, the conditions under which the product is going to be tested is based on the company's preference. But the true test happens outside of company control tests. It's in the desert. So what was about to happen was that God was saying, I have a product and I want to release it, outsource the test. So the spirit drove him into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. It was a test. And once and again, as you navigate, God is going to expose you to tests. I hope you know it is God that created Job's problem. He advertised Job in a certain conclave. And he became the focus of attacks on the kingdom of darkness. It's a test. Because if you are going to be recommended for higher capacities, you need to be subjected to tests that are outsourced. Outside company tests. So if you don't know the strength of your life, that test will reveal the fact that you are deficient. If we use the current state of the body of Christ, maybe in Europe as a case study, and you will conclude quickly that the Christians of this generation don't understand, don't know the handle of the grace of God that is supposed to drive the destiny of insufficient people under the influence of the power of the Holy Spirit. That's why we are here. That's why we are here. And for the rest of my life, I don't know how long it will be. This is what I'll be doing. Hallelujah. Now let me show you something. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 quickly. It's part of the distraction for the morning. Just to ensure you are gotten back from where you are coming from. And to get your attention. Because we want to go on a journey. A strong journey in the spirit. Hallelujah. The body I have is for you to maximize, to operate in maximum capacity utilization. I don't want to tell you my personal experiences. Maybe if the Lord permits, I will share a few things with you. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Are you there? 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse number 11. I won't do the long reading because of the time. We'll just be picking the verses of interest so that we can build from that point. If you practice the things that we'll be teaching during the course of this conference, you will bring God into your space. There is a life I live. God is everywhere in it. It's everywhere in it. And then you discover that God doesn't fragment people's lives. Just like we say, your marital life, your business life, your career life. Human beings did that. Fragmented. God deals with you as a whole. If he encounters you, it trickles through every aspect of your being. There's no dealing. It won't use his binoculars to be looking at, okay, your financial life is defective, so let's fix that aspect, and then your marital life will start leaking. He's not a plumber. So we made up all of that because that's how we think. So we believe that's how God thinks. The way God intended it is that as you walk with the Holy Spirit, you begin to see sufficiency built into defective aspects of your life. And it's not as if God was focusing on that aspect as it were, but God was just taking you through a journey. And then you find that you, in your own experience, now you say, oh, man, I have a breakthrough in this area. That's your own testimony. But what God is doing is that he's administering sufficiency. That's what he's doing. Now, listen. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 11, the Bible says, for what man knoweth the things of a man save the spirit of a man? I don't have time this morning to tell you about the things of a man, the things of men. But the Bible says that your spirit man knows all the things about you. It means your reality, your capacity, your tensile strength, your tensile strain, what you can take, what you cannot take, what you can survive, what you cannot survive, the temptations you can succeed in, the temptations you cannot succeed in, and all of your ratings and all of your possibilities and everything is calibrated upon your spirit man. So all the Lord needs to do is just look at your spirit. Okay, he's 4.2. That means he can't fast for more than 5 days. He's calibrated that the things of man there, your spirit knows it. Right? In the same way, the Bible says, even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. It means that the things of God are calibrated on the Spirit of God. In fact, even the depths of God, fully calibrated. That's the arrangement. And because the realities of God and the depths of God, the capacities of God, all calibrated on the Spirit of God, he knows everything about God. That's how it works. And please, listen to me. It is only spirit that can contact spirit. It is only your spirit that can contact. You can't contact God with your mind. But if your spirit has contacted God, your mind can benefit from it because the energy that comes through your spirit man can compel your mind in an invitation that is like a summon when the Bible says, come, let us reason together. That's a summon. He summons your mind. And your mind receives the grace to be able to think the thoughts of God. If the things of God are known by the Spirit of God, and that Spirit of God is mingled with my spirit to form a new administrative system, it means I'm supposed to operate by the knowledge of God. I'm supposed to operate, therefore, by the wisdom of God. I'm supposed to operate by the ability of God. And if that is not the case, I don't know God. So even though I have the potential to operate maximally according to grace, I'm still operating from the operating system of the flesh. And that's not God's fault. So it is possible for God to have a mighty dream about your life, but you are the 1989 model of yourself. That's not God's fault. You believe that you can get by without understanding how God wants to help you and then still receive help. And that's why wisdom went to the street and began to cry. Wisdom went to the street and was crying, saying, hey, how are you people surviving? Because I'm supposed to be the instrumentality by which you survive. You have found a way of surviving without me. You crying in the street. Wisdom. So you found another way to survive. And that's why you have not yet felt that wisdom was necessary. So wisdom is still crying till this time. There is only one way God will solve all of man's problem. One way. It's through the office of the Christ. That's the only way. All of your problem. Oh, you want... Meanwhile, are you with me? Okay, I know you don't believe me. So let me show you. Don't worry. I want to bring you back home before we start this journey. I want you to be convinced. God doesn't have two ways of solving your problem. He has one way and one way only. So, because of the administration of the mingled spirit, you are supposed to operate. You can access the knowledge of God. You can operate by the wisdom of God. You can operate by the ability of God. So that's the idea of man. God created a creature and gave that creature the privilege to be able to operate by him. In the natural, they see you as man, but you are operating with all of the powers of God. That's what glory is. Glory. Glory. The currency of God operates through your vessel. Your own existence is different from mortal existence. Because you are running on an operating system that is beyond the capacity of a man. Because of this arrangement, you have access to such a possibility. Are you following me? There's only way, one way God will solve your problem. So I need to show you that way. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 30, you will see it clearly there before we start the journey for this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 30. Don't forget the last scripture that we read. He said, but of him. Okay, can you replace where that him is? Can you put the Father there? Of the Father are ye. You are the Father. That's a good place to say amen. And listen, but even though you are of the Father, there is a place that God puts you in order to deal with all of your affairs. There's an ecosystem that he puts you. So, of the Father are ye, but you are domiciled in Christ. That's the context. That's the location. That's the ecosystem that he puts you. It is in that ecosystem that he's going to manage you. Are you with me? So, of him are ye in Christ Jesus. Put you in Christ Jesus. And I've told you that anytime you study your Bible and you see Christ Jesus, it's different from Jesus Christ. And it's different from Christ. When you see Christ Jesus, he's talking about his office. How many of you still remember the great confession of Peter? When he responded to the question, who do you say that I am? Peter came up with two things. There were two things that were embedded in his statement. First thing was, thou art the Christ, revealed his office. That's his ministry. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
Thou art the Son of the living God, he revealed his personality. So, person and office. And that office is exclusively for him. It's not an office that we cooperate with him. He operates it exclusively. So it's not as if someone is prime minister today, another person can be prime minister tomorrow. That is not, it's an eternal excellency. You don't understand? There's no election. May the Lord give you understanding. You get that? So it was his office and his person that Peter revealed. So when you find Christ Jesus, Christ. So the emphasis is the office. So where God puts you is under the influence of a certain office that exists in the spirit. The currency that this office operates with is what we call the anointing or grace. That's a currency that drives every activity that is committed to that office. Oh, you're not with me. Now, if we don't get these basics, there's no need for me to start today's lecture. We'll just stay here for this morning. No need to start this lecture. Because you need to be empowered. Twenty-five years of my life was used to study what I'm teaching you. Yes. I've been in the cave for 25 years. Under the discipline of God. And he will not allow me to do what I want. I had an opportunity to pastor in Canada. And to me it was a great. He said, young man, you go sit down. You go sit down. You go just sit down. I had my own plans and then after struggling, I struggled for like 4 or 5 years. Then I now submitted for the school. I didn't know it would take so long. What I'm telling you, I've seen it. This one I'm telling you. It's not something that somebody told me. I know this experientially. So I'm looking for text to type it out for you. But I know it experientially. When if you know something experientially, to say it, the Holy Ghost will lead you to the scriptures that will lend themselves to you to describe what you are experiencing. That's the way preaching should be. Not that you take a concordance and you take a commentary, a historical book. Hallelujah. You take a history book, take history lessons, and then you will be ministering to people's mind. And the issues of their life are not mental. After 5 years, the people will know you can't help them. It takes 5 years to know if your help is within range. After 5 years, people will be so loaded in their brain and they will discover that when they are in trouble, what is in their brain doesn't come to their rescue. It is only what is in your heart that rises up to the occasion. So anything that has not affected your heart cannot change your life. Cannot. So one of my commitments in ministry is that I will not waste people's time. Because as long as you keep ministering to their head, you are wasting their time. They are on the same spot. If they don't find out the modus operandi of this system that God has put in place, there is no other way God can help them. And time will reveal that they wasted time. Are you with me? Okay. Now, the Bible says of the Father are ye. And the Father decided to domicile you in an ecosystem. The ecosystem is Christ. That place where things happen by grace. That place where things are funded by the anointing. They are funded by grace. They are funded by the anointing. It is because of this throne that Jesus occupies. Are you here? It is because of this ministry that he occupies in the spirit that the Bible reveals that grace is administered by a throne. It's an office in the realm. That's where you find what you need. And the effect of grace is that it administers help. And help happens to be what the Holy Spirit is supposed to do to you to take care of infirmities. So the Holy Spirit does what he does to take care of your infirmities through grace. Are you with me? And the source of grace is this office under which he has placed you. Is that clear? Now, so this is it. If you still remember the time that Jesus did an introduction about the Holy Ghost, that the Holy Ghost, I'm going to leave, the Holy Ghost is going to come. He was trying to help us do understand the actor that will be coming to the stage. Right? And he revealed that the Holy Ghost was neutral. That means he will not speak of himself. Did you check that out? He's neutral. Why? Is it that he can't speak? He has his own mind. He must have read about the mind of the Spirit. He has his own mind. He has his own will. For the gifts of the Spirit are given according as God wills. So why is it that the Holy Spirit, when he shows up, he will not speak of himself? You know why? It's not because he doesn't know how to speak. It's because in the capacity in which he has come is a capacity to create access in your vessel to the office of the Christ. So everything he does is like a PA system. It's what the Christ is doing, he makes available. So he's the one that occupies the office of the Christ in his branch, in the branch of your own heart, to bring the influence of the government of that Christ into your own space. So he operates as he provides infrastructure to bring the operations in that administrative office right to your heart. And that is why he's neutral. That is why he operates as by providing an infrastructure. It's not because he doesn't have what to say. That's where he put you. That's the only place where he can manage you. You can decide to create another place, maybe the flesh. You say, this is where I want. Can't I choose? You can't choose. You are too small. It is his that is the power. It is his that is the kingdom. So he decides. It's too late to attempt to choose. And that's why we need to migrate. Spent many years. I went to Bible school early, you know, very, very early there. And when I was in Bible school, they felt I was an intelligent student. When the Holy Spirit wanted to teach me, the first instruction he gave was I should throw my Bible school notes away. Well, if he doesn't give you the same instruction, it may not be applicable. I'm just telling you my own story. My story is not the Bible. You know, it's possible for somebody to exalt his own personal experience and say, this is how it should. You are lost. Your small mind has corrupted what God wants to do. And corrupted it. He said, pack all these things, throw them away first. When you have thrown them away, without hope of recovering them, then we'll begin gradually. That was when I studied and I discovered the thread of divine revelation from Genesis to Revelation happens to be Christ and his kingdom. I didn't know that. That's the thread. It's the revelation of a person. I know you don't believe me, so I may need to show you a few scriptures. He said, you search the scriptures and you think in them you have eternal life. But these are they that speak concerning me. So the subject of the scripture is about this immortal personality that operates an office in the spirit. It's on the strength of the resources of the things he paid for and the things he prayed for that the entire scope of the purposes of God can be accomplished upon the face of the earth. He sits in the capacity of an administrator. He's the one that administers your destiny, your purpose in God. He administers it. If you ever know what you were created to be and who, what you were created to do and who you were created to be, it is because you heard his voice. He's the only one that can reveal it. Just like Jesus said, there's nobody that knows me. So this revelation you have, the source is my Father. If you ever find yourself, it's because you met him. Such a person that doesn't need to advertise, you know? He said, if you ever come to the Father, you came by me, so I don't need to advertise. When you walk in the wilderness long enough and you want to trace your Father, you will need to reconcile with me. This is a high office in the spirit. Your life is in darkness if you don't know it. This is where he put you. This place he put you and this Christ under whose administration you have been placed. He said God has made him wisdom to you. You are not here. It means you don't have wisdom. Oh, okay. Let me correct myself. You have the wisdom of man. And the wisdom of man is so insufficient, you soon find out. The wisdom of man is what is responsible for the illumination of this place. All right? But you cannot give hearing to the ears that are deaf. Can't give sight to the blind. Cannot raise the dead. even in the heart of the pinnacle of medical care that is available here, there are still cases where doctors will say, you know, we can't help you. It means even the wisdom of devils, demons, has a limitation. And that's why the book of Daniel was written. A king dreamt and he forgot his dream and requested that his dream should be downloaded and the interpretation should be given. And then suddenly the Chaldeans discovered there was a limitation on their craft. The magicians suddenly discovered that they were not operating from the height of possibilities that exist. They say, this kind of wisdom only dwells with the gods that are holy. And unfortunately, those gods do not dwell with men. It means that it is beyond the scope that we know. But we know where it is. But unfortunately for you, king, they don't dwell with men. We need to travel to them. And there's no vehicle through which we can reach that chamber. That was why when Daniel came and downloaded those dimensions, the king bowed to him. That means the king acknowledged that he was dead. And when they were asking Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to bow to the image, Daniel wasn't asked to bow, even though he was there. Wasn't asked to bow. So even the wisdom of darkness has limited. And the Bible says that this Christ, God has made him. Do you know what it means to make? Fashioned him. It was deliberate. He made it such that he will be wisdom to you. He made it such that he will be righteousness to you. He made it such that he will be sanctification to you. He made it such that it will be redemption to you. And that list is not exclusive. It's not conclusive. Sorry, it's not conclusive. Because you hear the psalmist say that the Lord is my light and my salvation. Who shall I fear? That the Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Have you heard of the Lord is my shepherd? That is a genuine definition of prosperity. Following the shepherd. The good shepherd will lead you to where pasture is. If you have any formula for prosperity that is different from following the Lord, hearing his voice, if you have any other formula, you got it from this age. That means you are using the principles of Mammon to prosper. And Mammon is going to possess your soul. So when we teach prosperity, we need to sit down and know what prosperity is from God's perspective. And meanwhile, I'm not here to preach prosperity. It's not exhaustive. So now I want to answer the question that is on your mind. The way God solves all of man's problem is through this administration. He shows you something more about this administration. And when you see it, you receive supply. When you see it, you receive help. When you see it, you receive what it takes to mount up with wings like eagles. If the devil is at work, he will make you never see it. For the Bible reveals that if our gospel be hid, it is hidden unto them that are lost. And one of the first things that Jesus had to do to his disciples in the book of Luke chapter 24, in order for them to even understand the scriptures, it was like a surgery he did to break the seal. And the Bible says he opened their understanding that they might understand the scripture. So if the devil wants to play a quick one on you, what he does is that he closes your eyes. You don't see them. That's the source. That is the circumference. That is the extent. And that is the limit. If God moves, he moves there. And the good thing is that this administration is supported by the framework that the Holy Spirit provides. And the same Holy Spirit happens to be mingled with your spirit. Mingle. That's why we started yesterday the way we did. Now the first procedure in this particular process is learning how to minister before the Lord. Lifting up your soul. Expressing how that even though you ride a Bentley and many people call you great, in the area of your discipline, you are forced to be reckoned with. Your name appears when the great in the land are summoned. But you know in your closet that all of that is whitewashed. That you are vulnerable. And you strip before him. It is unto you I lift up my soul. Not unto somebody else, but you. You. And every morning you convince yourself afresh. That it's about you. I'm just a reflection of your grace. And the day you decide to withdraw it, the video will rewind and take me back to the sheep coat. You need to keep a picture of yourself when you suffered. It will help your life of worshiping, of ministering before the Lord. How you looked. Somebody showed me a picture of myself. I was doing a 264-day fast. I think I was on 200 and something. I was like an AIDS victim. Hallelujah. You need to keep that picture. Because even though you have clean beers now, you are still like that. That picture must never leave your mind. Especially for those of us in ministry and some anointing is flowing. There is a temptation for you to think you are the anointing that is flowing. And then you show up and say, hallelujah. The more anointed you become, you need that picture more. Just, this is how you are. That will help you seek, minister to him. And say, I know what you are doing. You are the one behind all this. And it is your due for me to come and acknowledge it every day. If you have found a way of operating that is different from what I'm prescribing, you are in a jungle. You are in a jungle. You have forgotten the way home. Do you know how many times I did COVID tests just because of this trip? We were just sitting, we're just relaxing, and then COVID just came. And the devil has a lot of those kind of things, and he has people that will help him facilitate it. The more we go closer to the end of the age, the more you will see that without God, we are nothing. So these are the days where we need to strengthen our communion with him. So that's what it's about. You lift up your soul to him and you acknowledge your insufficiency. He says, oh my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. You see, he's insufficient. Let not my enemies triumph. Because as you begin to climb into visibility, I assure you, if you are not aware, I came to inform you, your enemies will multiply. And that's why the Bible says he increased his people greatly and he made them stronger than all their enemies. He doesn't just come and increase you. He knows that increase is a challenge. It's a challenge. So that's the place where we acknowledge what our stronghold is. Acknowledge who our stronghold is. We renew our covenant with Him, our loyalty to Him. Every single day. And when He is pleased, His laughter will be trapped in the spirit and conveyed to you. And then you sense a peace in your heart. That is Him. Because the joy of the Lord is your own strength. It is in the aura of that peace that you hit your day. And if a man rises up against you, the one you called will fight him. I've seen it many times. If you know a man that does consistent ministering before the Lord, that's not a man to fight. It won't end well. That's not a man to fight. Look for someone else. When you begin that, like I said, God may want to meet you in another place, another location in the spirit. So He gives you the transport system by which you can arrive there, which is what we call the song of the spirit. That is the song that the Holy Spirit is singing at the time of your engagement. He uses it to bring you to high places, because that song is being sung in high places in the spirit. And so if the Holy Spirit makes it available to you and you pick it up, then that is the lift. You go to where the song came from. That's the technology of the high praise. The high praise is not when you are beating the drum hard. No. High praise is that it is from the highest pinnacle of Zion. And if you pick it up, it becomes the vehicle that will take you to that high place. High praise is from the high place. It's a vehicle. Sometimes when He brings you through that vehicle to that place, that's when He begins to show you great and mighty things that thou knowest not. And then if you know what I'm talking about, you will want to retire before the Lord every day again. Because there's always a story, a breaking news that is coming out of that layer. You need to come and get an updated version. Something is happening. And you come back. It doesn't matter how, if you know what I'm talking about, you will come back. If you don't know it, you don't even know your time. You don't know when it is time to take your journey. You don't know when it's time to stand, to sit, when it's time to walk away, when it's time to run. You don't know. You miss your seasons. You miss your times. Years pass by and you are going in circles because when the window opened, you didn't know. And the reason why you didn't know was because you didn't go to minister before. Well, I want to assume that you are back. And I also told us to equip ourselves with this understanding. If you minister before the Lord consistently and there's an emergency in the spirit that needs your attention, what God will do is that He will send you a summon. A summon, the organic experience of a summon is when a spiritual weight comes upon your spirit man, and you know the only way to find ventilation is to find a place to pray. Now, if you joke with those moments, they will cease to come. They will stop coming. You know the Holy Ghost? He will come to you. And He will say, give that money quietly. Give that money. And then you just say it's just a thought. He won't come again. The next time He will come will be in 2 years. And in 2 years it will be fainter. Give that money. Then you reject Him again. He won't come again. He will just walk away. And He will go to Dr. Ekena. Give that money. And then He gives. Next time it will be louder. Keeps. Next time it will be louder. Keeps. Then, when that is happening through your life regularly, I like using this word sparingly. The reason is because it's not in the Bible. So I don't know what it means. The word the word I'm talking about is breakthrough. It's not in the Bible. So I don't know what the word means, but I assume you do. So this man is responding. This man is obeying. This man is obeying and he's rejoicing in it. God will enlarge your coast. Because he knows that if he wants to reach people, you are the address. No problem. All those resources will be coming into your life. There is no wizard that can stop it. Especially if he tells you, put it here. You put it. Put it there. You put it. And it is not all he gives you, he will ask for. That means you can be building your house. Building, 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 building. It's okay, put this one here, put this one here. So it's in serving him that we receive the capacity to prosper. And you that doesn't want to be a conduit, he will make you a dry land. Have you read the scripture that said, and the rebellious shall dwell in a dry land? He won't force you as a gentleman. He just shows up and say, can you do this? If you are quick to do it, he will come again. What about this? Before he makes that request, he has already seen your condition. And he has an intention to help. So he now comes and puts a burden on you. And you think you are the one helping somebody. You don't know he wants to help you. Then he will now leave you with that thing you refuse to help with. And in a short while, you will be in a dry land. I've been there before, so I know what I'm telling you. I don't want to end up there again. For in him are ye in Christ Jesus. He might ask you to do something, and when you do the thing, maybe to give out some pounds, what he wants to give you is not pounds. It's to deliver you from debt. If you know him, you'll know where to look. And he will tell you when to take your journey. The Bible reveals that it is impossible for a man to order his steps by his wisdom. It is not given to you to do that. Someone else will have to do that. I pray he gives us understanding. In the name of Jesus. A sermon can come in form of you praying. A sermon can come in form of something you need to do now. If you are not experiencing those kind of organic realities, you are not well spiritually. You have an ailment. And I will prescribe to you a few drugs, but much more, I will prescribe the location of the clinic, Jesus Clinic. Go to the Department of Grace. Take a drip. Put it on your vein and remain there. The doctor will come soon. You are desperately in need of clinical help. If he has not been coming to summon you. If the song of the Spirit doesn't come to you. You have never summoned. You are not given burdens to pray about. And you are not asked to give. I will prescribe the address of the hospital. The nurses are busy. So when you get in, admit yourself and strap your hand on a drip quickly. Because once you lose that consciousness, it's a consciousness. Oh, you don't know. It's a consciousness. I told you that the proof of life is consciousness. The proof, Jesus' explanation of your being born again experience in John chapter 3 verse 3 is, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. It's perception. That is the proof that you are saved, is that you have perception, consciousness. If you lose that perception, you will walk in a dry land without the help of this administrator. Maybe you are in a dry land now. Because you lost that consciousness long time ago. Oh! You will just feel it like this. Fast, fast. As you open that fridge, there's yogurt, there's all. The thing will just pass fast. It will pass, it will come only once. Then it's okay. You close the fridge. Okay, because the evidence that you are a son of God is that you can be led by the Spirit of God. And leading doesn't start with knowing who to marry. If you have not been led on other matters, you will marry wrong, thinking the voice you heard. I hope you know that God can answer you according to your idols. That's when you want leading, when you want to marry. Meanwhile, on other issues, on how to use your stomach, you don't need leading. You know you must have beans by 4 o'clock. I must have beans. Hallelujah. Sorry, I'm punching you hard because I want something to happen. Don't be offended. I'm going to even punch more. Yes. Uppercut. But when we are done, you will know that man loves me. I guarantee that. All right, let's go for the lecture for this morning. What we did was to bring us back to the auditorium. Now, I need to reveal to us how the spirit realm is. It's more concrete, it's more solid than this natural realm. If we understand how the spirit realm is and how it runs, you'll be able to understand whether some things around your life have spiritual causes. And then you'll be equipped with what it takes to deal with things that have their bearing in the realm of the spirit. So we'll do a course. This is the major training manual I brought to this school. We're just starting the school this morning. The school commences today. So, amen. So we want to consider the texture of the unseen realm. Not to establish whether there is an unseen realm, we need to go to Colossians chapter 1 verse 16. The texture of the unseen realm. In Colossians chapter 1 verse 16, the Bible says, "For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible." It means that there's an aspect of creation that contains items that are invisible. Now, we are trying to understand that invisible dimension. Okay, maybe I need to help you with one scripture. It's not on my script, but I think it will help you understand it. All right, let's do something around Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2. God willing, as we proceed, we might, maybe, I don't know, maybe, our next school might be in London. Yeah. So we'll just be moving like that, just be moving, training people, training believers to. So that's my own contribution to the body of Christ. That's my own small contribution to the body of Christ. Yes, maybe, I guess, do something in London, just like that, we'll keep hopping around. So you'll get the details, I guess, you get the details of how to be in touch. And we will be, I'll be more frequent in the United Kingdom from next year, because that's God's will. And what we are doing is not a local church. It's an apostolic center. It's an apostolic service provider. So we are here to bring this dimension to the body of Christ. Okay? And God will help us in the name of Jesus. In the book of Genesis chapter 2, I'd like to show you something quickly. Still about the unseen realm. It said, thus the heavens and the earth were finished and all the host of them. And on the seventh day God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all the work which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made. Verse 4 is my emphasis. He said, these are the generations. Listen to me. I'm seeing something about someone. I don't know if this is the time. And I don't want to break this teaching anointing. Maybe I'll just write it down so that I will remember when we start that. Verse 4 is my emphasis, please. It said, these are the generations of the heavens and of the earth when they were created in the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens. Anybody notice any trouble with this scripture? The trouble is the word generations. Because we are just starting the business and you say generations. We are just starting. Creation just took place. And then you now introduce the word generations. It's difficult to understand that. So, I had to look up the original meaning of the word that was used, translated generations. I needed to conduct a linguistic investigation. And the reason for that is not to show you that I'm scholarly. That's flesh. That's not the reason why I'm doing what I'm doing. I'm doing this, are you with me? Because Greek and Hebrew happen to be languages that have capacity. English doesn't have so much capacity. Sorry for any English person that is present here. English, okay. Don't be offended. But English doesn't have capacity. For instance, in Greek, we have four words for power. We have dynamis, which is inherent power, and inherent and potential energy. That's what dynamis means. We have kratos, which is a comparative word for power, which means a power that goes beyond power. It's normally used in comparison, like the woman that had the issue of blood, and the Bible says that she had consulted with physicians. There was something physicians attempted doing to stop the flow, and instead of getting better, she grew worse. And when she touched the hem of his garment, power flowed. That power is comparative. It's used to contrast and compare the efforts of the physicians. So this power has the ability to go beyond any other previous power. What those previous powers could not do, this power can do. So Kratos is comparative. So it goes beyond witchcraft power, goes beyond necromancy power, goes beyond astrology power, goes beyond all kinds of power. If you know how to apply Kratos, every other power will prove insufficient in the face of Kratos. So what is the word Kratos? What is the English word for it? English only has power. Do you understand that? For instance, In Greek, time, there are two words for time. There's chronos time, there's kairos time. Chronos time is called chronological time, a build-up of time. And meanwhile, kairos time is an opportune time. If a woman conceives, she has 9 months of gestation period. That is chronos. The time, the day of delivery, that's why... Do you understand what I'm talking about? So, that's the reason why we need to do linguistic investigation. Not so that I can show you that I'm a scholar. Far from that. That is of the flesh. May the Lord open your eyes to see that... what we are modeling here is done with fear and trembling, with all humility. May the Lord open your eyes to see that. All right, so we have to do some form of linguistic investigation. I was proud before, and God used 10 years to deal with me. I don't want that experience again. You don't understand. you don't understand. You don't understand. Well, God will help. God will help. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. It is a terrible thing to fall victim of the hand of God. May the Lord give you understanding. So the word there is tolidal. Tolidal means generation. Tolidal means to give birth to. Give birth to. And tolidal is comparative too. Because the two items that are being compared and contrasted in this scripture is heavens and the earth. That means the invincible realm and the visible realm. Are you here? You know, in this day and in this time, because of the damage that has been done in terms of doctrine and dogma, traditions of men sold as the word of God, we will need to be very articulate in terms of our use of the scripture. Because the Bible is a closed text. You cannot be too creative with the Bible. But it's a fixed star. A reference point. And because of that, we need some form of skill to be able to handle it in order for us to convey God's meaning and God's intention. Okay? That's the reason why we will do a lot on doctrine when the time comes. We're in the school of prophets today. We're trying to understand how the membrane of the layer of the Holy Ghost functions and all of that, so that we can know how to take advantage of His help and maximize our possibilities. But this is not all we are about. Hardline doctrine to set things in order so that everyone will know the things that are most surely believed among us. May the Lord help us in the name of Jesus. So that's why I say my labor was for 25 years. There's no degree you want to get on this world that you can't get for half that time. But not from God. God can say, okay, you will squander 30 years of your life in my cave. I know you don't like, okay, you don't like that gospel, so, okay. Let me, I will look for the UK gospel and be, Jesus is not a money doubler. Jesus is not a money doubler. And he's not a God that gives men false hope. No. 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 So we need to learn his ways so that we can walk in his path. Alright. So, this word tolidal is comparative too. And the two things that are being contrasted and compared is the heavens and the earth. And what the scripture is saying from the context of that word is that the visible creation was given birth to from the invisible creation. It means the foundation of this creation is not this creation. The foundation of this creation is the unseen framework behind it. Just like a child. A woman is pregnant. The child is 9 months old in the womb. It's time for delivery. You will find that the child is connected to the mother using the umbilical cord. Is that true? And if the mom takes Coke, the child has taken Coke. If the mom takes Fanta, the child has tasted of Fanta. That's how it is. That's how this civilization is. There is a link between the unseen and the seen, because the seen came out of the unseen. I know you are not readily inclined to believe what I just said, because you might feel I used the Hebrew word. All right, come with me to the book of Romans chapter 1. Because if this meaning I'm making out of this scripture is scriptural, other scriptures will witness it. The Bible is not capable of private interpretation, because there were a pool of speakers that God used to proclaim his word. So if it's God, the witness will be one. So if this speaker says this under the influence of the Holy Ghost, the second speaker picks up from that point and begins to say it, it will be one. So you cannot make a doctrine out of one isolated scripture. That meaning you are trying to make out of that scripture that is only unique to that scripture is not the meaning of that scripture. May the Lord give you understanding. I don't want to press further on that. Let's we are in the mosaic of the apostolic. And what that means is we want to find out, we'll give you the scripture the way it is, not that it is beveled or coated or colored. Just like that. Right? We are tired of religion. I don't know if you are tired. Tired, no presence. The presence of God is not there. God left 12 years ago. We are still trying to keep up. I'm trying. I'm tired. So in these times we seek the Lord and his brightness, that his glory might be seen in all the earth. And it's a privilege to be numbered in him. Hallelujah. Alright, I said you should open to the book of Romans chapter 1. We'll just do verse 20 because of time. Technical man, if you have NIV version of the Bible, that will be the best rendering for this verse of scripture. NIV. Okay, this is King James. He said, "For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things which are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." It's a bit. Anyone with amplified version in the congregation? NIV is here now. He said, "For since the creation of the world, the invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, been understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse." So the greatest evangelist is not Reinhard Bonnke. It is the visible creation. It's an illustration of the dimensions of God. It's an illustration of the realm of God. Everything about that invisible realm is fully and adequately illustrated in the visible creation. Even the concept of God's eternal power and Godhead is fully illustrated in the visible creation. And the reason why it is like that is because it derived from it. It came from it. So when Jesus came to the earth and he was trying to teach us about heaven, he didn't need to take us to heaven to teach us about heaven. He used earthly things to talk about, because they are relatives. You get it? Good. Now, having understood this, it's needful for us also to understand that we're still talking about the unseen realm, which is the real lecture, the real course, the module that we want to do this weekend. So one of our products is the School of Prophets. We'll continue this product. There are so many things about this school, all right? And the idea of the school is to make you understand more the ways of the Holy Spirit and to engage him and to find the sufficiency that is in him. Okay? So, the Bible says something. From this scripture, we see that the parent is the invisible. The product is the visible. It means we can still manipulate the visible from the invisible. That's what the average witch knows. And there is a lot of capacity building in the witchcraft world. When somebody is initiated into witchcraft, every night, 12 midnight, demons come to take the person's spirit to the place where the education takes place. Even the kingdom of darkness spends so much on education. I mean spiritual education. But we don't see the need for it. Just say glory. And you just do something and shout and you take off. No. You are not going to be competent. If you don't know how to use light, if you stand before someone that knows how to use darkness, you will fail in warfare. You fail in warfare. And that's the experience of the average Christian. But we don't testify about that. We testify about vehicles, about jobs. What about the fact that you encountered something and you didn't survive? That we should also take that aspect so that we will know that I didn't win. I didn't win. So we need some education. This is Amplified Bible. For ever since the creation of the world, his invisible nature and attributes, that is his eternal power and divinity, has been made intelligible and clearly discernible in and through the things that have been made, his handiwork. So men are without excuse, altogether without any defense or justification. This is the Amplified Bible. Okay? Now, in view of the above, what the people that have access to the spirit realm through the spirit of error, what they do is that they visit that realm and manipulate things there, and then the people about whom things were manipulated become victims of those things. And they'll be looking for physical ways, medical ways to solve things that have their bearing and root in the invisible realm. To no avail, actually. And so we need to study about this realm, to know how it is, how it is structured, so that we can understand some things that are happening. Are you with me? All right. So let's do the first thing you need to know about the realm, which is number one, is that it's a well-structured system of order and rank. A well-structured system of order and rank. Jude chapter 1. We'll do verse 6 and verse 9. Jude 1:6. Remain with me. It's a well-structured existence. If in that existence you have higher rank than myself, because in that realm there's rank. Oh, you're not with me. Listen, it was Jesus that said, whoever takes out of this scripture, let me use scripture, and teaches men to do so shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. So there's a rank in that realm. And that's why we have varying levels of authority, even though authority is our birthright. We have the authority to be called children of God. We have authority to function as children of God. But our measure of authority is different, which is indicative of the fact that we have different ranks. This realm is properly structured. There are clearance levels that God gives each believer, consistent with his rank, and you cannot operate beyond your ranking. Even a church, a fellowship has rank. And what they can do in a territory, what their corporate intercession can do in a territory, is consistent with their rank. You cannot be more powerful than your rank. You may deceive people in the natural, but it's impossible for you to achieve that supernaturally because it's by rank. Now, I want to show you something that happened. Jude 1:6. And the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation. He had reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. Verse 9. Jump to 9. Yet, Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed not about the body of Moses, does not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke thee. There were two things they say he did not do. One, he did not bring an accusation. Two, he did not bring what? When contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, doth not bring against him a railing accusation. The word accusation there is one of the registers that you find in the court of law. What it means here is that he did not come and say, I have the right to retrieve that body from you. That was not what he said. And the reason why Michael, the great Michael that you know, could not exercise rights and authority over Satan was because the Satan he was contending with was no longer operating with satanic rank. He was operating with Adamic rank. So he could not come on the basis of rank. So his style of restraining Satan was by proclaiming the name of the one that authorized him. The Lord rebuke you. He invoked the name of the Lord before he was able to restrain Satan. How do I know it was Adamic power? I know from Luke chapter 4 verse 6. Help me with Luke chapter 4 verse 6 quickly. Luke chapter 4 verse 6. And the devil taketh, and the devil said unto him, this is Satan during the temptation of Jesus, all this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that it is delivered unto me. So it was this Adamic power he was operating with, Adamic authority. An Adamic authority is higher than angelic authority. How do I know that it is Adamic authority? So how is it that he had access to Adamic authority? That's the first law of the spirit. It's called the law of servitude. Romans chapter 6 verse 16. That's the first law that governs the spirit realm. He said, know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey? The moment Adam obeyed Satan, Adam became Satan's slave. And Satan entered into Adamic authority. Right? So, if even though you are born again, and you decide to live in sin, you have come under Satan's authority. Satan can do with you what he wants. You have the potential to be free, but you decide to be in bondage by living under the authority of the devil, using his products. Oh man, he's going to have a good time. That's the law of servitude. So it therefore means that not every believer will be victorious, not every believer will prosper, because some will still be using Satan's products, and that is going to bring them under Satan's authority. Don't forget that. Alright. So, he was operating by Adamic power. So, Michael could not exercise authority over him. But only said, the Lord rebuke you. So, a structured realm of rank like this. I will show you there. That's why some prayers are not answered. Some of you don't even have the clearance, the level, the walk of obedience with the Lord to have the clearance to challenge some things. We came to church one day and one of the pastors had died. Then the wife of the pastor that died suddenly became a woman of faith, saying that the husband will come back to life. Why? When the husband was alive, she was not a woman of faith. Yeah. She wasn't a woman of faith. But today now, she wants to raise the dead. She wants to start her journey of faith by raising the dead. She doesn't have authority for that. It is possible, but it's not possible with her. It's your obedience, your surrender to the dealings of God that gives you rank. So when you find someone that has rank, the key to rank is obedience. You know, we need to talk about the things of the kingdom of God. And one of them is obedience. Obedience. Jesus, Adam, he modeled the example of rebellion. Jesus modeled the example of obedience. That's the way, that's the style of the new creation. You see, he couldn't do anything of himself. That anything, everything he did was what he saw the Father do. He was subject to the Father's authority in everything. In fact, when he was going to sacrifice, going for the sacrifice, he did not sacrifice himself by himself. The Bible says he offered himself by the Holy Ghost. See, the Holy Ghost was the one that was helping him offer himself. The way he offered himself. And that was why the Father accepted the offering. So even in death, he didn't choose how he died. And you choose everything. You see somebody with a broad chest and he's 7 foot tall. He said, this is my dream size. Hallelujah. In the days of your affliction, that chest is where your troubles will come from. Everything is out, is by your wisdom. You see, the angel of the Lord has come. I see the light. But well, I believe before this conference comes to an end, some of you will begin to see what I see. So we can actually stop teaching and God will begin to do things here. But let's invest this money. Let's invest it properly. Okay? Now, listen. In view of the above, it therefore means that there are entities in darkness that also have rank. And the reason why they have rank is because they are submissive to Satan. So they have rank. And that's why you will hear the scriptures identify some entities as princes. Should I tell you something? Only a prince can bind a prince. Only a prince of light can bind the prince of darkness. So choose your battles. If you notice that your problem is more than your rank, outsource it. May the Lord give you understanding. Let's see a few scriptures on how Jesus prescribed that we can overcome Satan. Matthew. We need to see the prescription. In the book of Matthew, chapter 16, let me take you on a longer journey, but you will like it. Go to John chapter 1. Let's begin from verse 40 to 42. Just stay with me. Stay with me. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first finded his own brother Simon and said unto him, "We have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ." And he brought him to Jesus. And when Jesus beheld him, he said, "Thou art Simon." No introduction took place. Jesus was able to scan him. He said, "You are Simon. That's what your father called you. But that's not the name you are going to bear in destiny. Your name will change. You are Simon today, but the son of Jonah, but you shall be called Cephas," which is by interpretation, what? A stone. He said, "Your name is Simon. That's what your parents called you. But in your destiny, you will be called Cephas." Now, what I want to do is to show us the circumstances under which he earned that name. Because that the circumstances and the environment under which he earned the name Cephas is pregnant. Now, in the book of Matthew chapter 16 that I asked you to open that time, if you begin to read from verse 13, you will see that Jesus had some meetings and all of that, and then they were now traveling. And the way they were traveling was as if they were traveling on foot. And they traveled from eastern Israel to western Israel. And Jesus didn't say anything. The moment they came to the coast of Caesarea Philippi, Jesus now said, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" This was the Jesus that was not concerned about what people felt about him. Suddenly now asking how people perceived him. Who do men say that he was? And when all the answers came from the questionnaire that he administered, some say you are Elijah, some say you are Jeremiah, some others say you are John the Baptist that is come from the dead. Then I knew why Jesus was asking the question. In his intercourse with the Father early that morning, the Father had revealed to him that there was someone unto whom he had disclosed his identity. So Jesus said, "I'll find out. Who do men say I am?" When the answers came from the diaspora, he knew that the person that found out was not outside. So he now rephrased the sample space of the questionnaire was adjusted. He said, "Who do you say that I am?" And then Simon Peter came and brought the great confession. And the great confession is so great that anywhere this confession is not, the church is not. He said, "Thou art the Christ. Thou art the Son of the living God." And Jesus said, "Blessed art thou, O Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto you, thou art Cephas." So it was a revelation of Jesus Christ that brought him into an understanding of his own personal identity. So if you have not seen Jesus, you don't know yourself. Jesus prophesied to them, saying, "Oh, you are Simon." And Simon is actually a weed that is by the seashore that is tossed to and fro by the waves. He doesn't have a true stem. So that's inconsistency and all of that. The next time after Jesus gave him this name, the next time he called him Simon was after he denied him. He said, "Simon, Simon," because he had gone back to being a weed. "And I say unto you, thou art Cephas." You are the stone. You are going to be in the company of stones. Just like Caesarea Philippi. It was named Caesarea Philippi because of Philip the Tetrarch. Philip the Tetrarch was a civil engineer. And when he was made tetrarch over that city, he began to build the city, gave it a facelift. As at the time they came into Caesarea, you will see blocks here, cement here, iron rods here. So everything in the environment was making building. That's when he started saying, because he had something in mind. Because Jesus would never have disclosed the revelation of the church if someone didn't know the revelation of the Christ. It's when he picked it up. I said, okay, I have a story for you. You are Cephas. And upon this Petra, this revelation that you came with, I will build my church. And what will happen? And the gates of hell shall not prevail against. That's where I'm going. The gates of hell. The authorities of hell. Because there are three metaphors you need to know. Gates, windows, and doors. Gates refer to authorities. Windows refers to blessings. And doors refer to opportunities. You will hear someone like Paul says, a great door and an effectual is opened unto us, but there are many adversaries. The opportunity to preach the gospel had opened, but not without limitations and warfares and battles. If you are still here, say amen. Amen. He said, I will build my church. Just like Philip the Tetrarch is the engineer of Caesarea, I'm also an engineer. And I'm working on a job. And you are a stone, like many other stones that I will fit together to form a priesthood. That's why you will notice that it was Peter that came up with the revelation that we are lively stones. He now understood the concept that Jesus was trying to sell to him. We are built up into a spiritual house, a priesthood. Are you with me? So that we can offer up spiritual sacrifices unto God, acceptable unto God through Jesus Christ. Listen, it is when the church understands what I just taught you this morning about the Christ. He said, if your life is built on it, because your life can be built on something else. If your life is built on Christ, what your existence will be like is that you are leaning on Christ. Leaning on Him. Before I came here to preach to you, I leaned on Him. Showed Him how insufficient. Reminded Him that I'm a stammerer. I can't talk. We are PhD holders, scholastic people. So what do I have to tell them? Schooled in Cambridge, Oxford. The name of the university that I schooled in is not available. It's not available. It's. So how do you go and engage these people? You need to help me. See, I leaned. Then He assures me that you have more than help. Then when you see me ministering, you will think, wow, such a scholar. You don't know His help. Help. And I will never allow you to see me without help. I will never. It's a promise. You will never. Because you won't like it. He said, when we begin to live based on our revelation of the fact that he is built up on our inside to be our help, and we live by that help, suddenly you realize that the authorities of hell will no longer be able to prevail against you, because you have found the secret of living, which is seeking help from the Spirit. And that's how you live. When the knowledge of the Christ that happens to be your foundation is revealed, and how that God expects you to live from the resources that comes through that administrative office, and you are living that way, the authorities of Hades will not have influence over you. That's what Jesus said. So the question is this. Are you getting it? That's what He said. So the acid test of whether it is Jesus building, because if it's Jesus building, he will build on that Petra. So there's a difference between teachings and doctrine. Are you with me? Theologically, if you check your Bible, every time doctrine is mentioned, it's singular. Every time it was plural, it is either doctrines of men or demons, but it is always singular. Because there's one doctrine. I know you don't believe that. I will show you. Have you ever heard of the apostles' doctrine? It's the apostles that is plural. The apostles are many, but the doctrine is single. Have you ever heard of the principles of the doctrine of Christ? That's in the book of Hebrews chapter 6. It's principles that is plural. Doctrine is single. There's one doctrine. The first time Jesus even mentioned doctrine was during the Feast of Tabernacles in the book of John chapter 7. Why? Why Feast of Tabernacles? Okay, let me leave you with that. One doctrine. Okay, if I take you to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 10, you are going to see the doctrine. Okay, let's try it. Even though I don't have time. I don't have time for that. But we can just pass through 1 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 10. This is the scripture. When Paul boasted about his status in the spirit. That he was not just a normal apostle. He was a wise master builder. He was part of the civil engineers that Jesus had approved to labor on that structure that he is building. Not everyone had the approval of Jesus to be a builder. And with all humility, I'm part of the civil engineers. Hallelujah. He said, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation and another man builded thereon. But let every man take heed how he builded thereon. Then he now mentioned, for no other foundation can no man lay except that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Do you notice that in this place, it is not Christ Jesus. It's Jesus Christ. It means there's a way Jesus lived. And the way he lived was under the influence of the Spirit of God. He lived an enabled life. Are you with me? And the Spirit of God right now is the one representing the Christ in your heart. The same resource through which the Spirit of Jesus lived. So if I begin to live by that provision, the provision that is in the Spirit of God, that is on my heart, and I lean on him for my daily walk, I will be operating in an ecosystem that will neutralize, make the authority of darkness of non-effect. Satan is going to be relevant around your life as long as you don't know this doctrine. You know, I quoted the book of John chapter 7 as the first time that Jesus mentioned doctrine. And what was his doctrine? He says, the things I am doing, it is not me that is doing it. It is my Father which is in me. The doctrine is that God is tabernacled in man. That is doing it. It is my Father which is in me. God is in me. So I live by him. I'm not living from the resources of humanity. I'm living from the resources of God. That's the doctrine. When you operate like that, you begin to see less and less of the devil. You begin to understand that things like obedience to God is critical. Because that is what is going to increase your rank. And then the authorities of Hades shall not prevail. That's a good place to say amen. Haven't understood this number one. I need to open the scripture for number one. And that scripture Genesis chapter 22 from verse 14 to 18. Genesis 22, 14 to 18. Oh my God. I've been enjoying teaching. I didn't know time is going. So I've closed my Bible. I won't read again. And Abraham called the name... Okay. I can't explain this verse to you today. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh. No explanation. As it is said to this day, that in the mount of the Lord shall be seen. This scripture was supposed to come to you when I teach on seals. Seals. Because the spirit realm is a realm of secrets. That's the lecture for tomorrow morning. So you hear that something is sealed. It means it's classified. So it operates by mysteries. And I will show you what it means. So that sensitive things will not be held in common places. And it's on the strength of the economy of seals that in the warfare that Satan fights, there are so many miscalculations because several secrets were encoded even before Satan was created. So we'll look at that tomorrow. The economy of seals. And you will see, I will show you some of the administration in the book of Revelation. It's a wonderful text for these matters. So I don't want to dwell here, please. Maybe tomorrow. Go to the next verse. I didn't take note that verse was. And the angel of the Lord, this is where I'm supposed to read from, called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time and said, by myself have I sworn, said the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing and hast not withheld thy son, thy only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed at the stars of heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gates of his enemies. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Why? Don't forget that. That's the key to rank. That's the key to rank. Because thou hast obeyed my voice. His rank, his influence was going to be across the whole earth. Whether he was alive or dead, it was going to be in him that all the families of the earth would be blessed. So in some sense, Abraham is a source. And because it's a source, that's why Jews, Muslims, and Christians claim him to be the ancestor. He got all of that status in the spirit, that rank in the spirit, because he did what? Obey. Just get all the PowerPoints, obedience, as we travel, and I'll put them together at the end of the day. So you will wield as much authority as your obedience can produce. I will show you things that you need ranking men to do. And if there are no ranking men in the territory, the land remains in darkness. Only ranking men can operate the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Right? With that rank, there are keys that can operate, that can influence a territory. If not, without those men of stature, There'll just be darkness. Things will just be going on the way it is going on. And nothing will be able to challenge the devil. And the key to rank happens to be obedience. That's where I'm going to stop this morning. So there are entities. They are ranking entities. And that's why it's a realm of thrones. Thrones talks about offices. It talks about authorities that God bequeaths to his people. Because it is a kingdom of, not a kingdom of king and subjects, but a kingdom of king and kings. So the hope of the Lord is that you will grow in rank so that you can inherit it.